This is Proper Sport. You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Yes, very good evening to everybody. Welcome to the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. Delighted to say that this evening we are live at York Racecourse for the Dante Festival, and we've got a fantastic evening planned for you as well. We're going to be looking back at yesterday's action, reviewing this afternoon as well, plus looking ahead to the action here tomorrow on the Knavesmire, and not forgetting the racing on Saturday at Newbury and Newmarket. We're going to be hearing from James Doyle, Frank Editore, Ashim Murphy, William Haggis and Harry Bentley. It's all coming up in the next 40 minutes or so here on the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath.
Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
So a very good evening to everybody tuning in now to the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. Now, for the past couple of weeks, we've been in the studios up in Leeds, but we are back out on location for this week's show, and delighted to say that we are broadcasting live from the Knavesmire. Great to be back here at York Racecourse alongside Jim as well. Jim, you know, this racecourse is one of the, you know, the most iconic racecourses in the world. It's absolutely brilliant to be back here.
Yeah, and it's been in stunning condition this week, like everywhere else. It's endured a tough winter, but Adrian Kay and the team here have done a really good job, and most of the trainers and jockeys have been very complimentary about it.
Yeah, they certainly have indeed. And Jim, we've seen some great action along the way as well, particularly yesterday. Of course, it was the Musidora. Really enjoy it, looking forward to the Musidora here. Give and Take returned it, your 7-2 winner of the race for William Haggis and James Doyle. What did you think to the winner?
Yeah, she's likeable. She quickened up nicely and then got into a real fight with the runner-up, always just doing enough to keep her at bay. The reaction was mixed afterwards. Do I think it was a brilliant performance? No. If she was mine, would I run her in the Oaks? Yeah, take a chance. There's only one chance to go at that, and she wasn't stopping at the end of the race. But as I say, opinions differed about whether she wants a longer distance or a shorter distance, or indeed whether she's good enough. She'll have to do quite a lot more to make the frame at Epsom.
The race beforehand, the Duke of York, Harry Angel, returned your 4-9 winner of that particular race. So great to see him come back here with a bang. And I believe it's next stock at Diamond Jubilee for him at the Royal Meeting.
Yeah, he's a buzzy character, Harry Angel. He's a sprinter that sort of lives a little bit on his nerves. Everything dropped nicely for him yesterday, and the race unfolded and nothing really took him on. Well, the horse that did take him on lasted for about 3 furlongs, wasn't in great form anyway. But considering he was giving a penalty away and it was his seasonal reappearance, it was a decent enough effort. Whether he'll be vulnerable at Ascot under similar conditions in a stronger field is a strong possibility.
And 35 minutes before Harry Angel was very impressive here on the Knavesmire. 35 minutes beforehand, George Bowen for Richard Fahey. Connor Beasley, the man in the saddle, beating Foulard by 6 lengths. A really impressive performance. And I think if I've got this right, Jim, wasn't George Bowen one of the fancy contenders a few years back for the Coral Sprint Trophy here?
George Bowen has been fancied for many races, Bobby. I think he's emptied a few punters' pockets over the years. But in fairness to Richard, I remember this horse as a 2-year-old, and he was glowing in his praise of what he was doing in his early days. He's just a bit of a character, and the race unfolded perfectly for him yesterday. But I think everybody connected with him was gobsmacked that he was able to win in the way that he did. It remains to be seen, if he gets another chance in a handicap, whether he'll be able to do likewise.
You can just hear, probably in the background through our microphone, that just reviewing the action this afternoon on the Knavesmire, which we will come to very shortly here on the show. But before we review what we've seen here this afternoon on the Knavesmire, yesterday I caught up with the pilot of Give and Take, and here's what he had to say. James, describe that victory to us.
Yeah, really pleased with her. She got a little bit fidgety in the gates and missed, just flopped out the gates, which meant we were on the back foot a little bit. They didn't go overly quick early, but like they can do here, they got stretching plenty soon enough, and she saw it out well. Obviously, the second horse drifted, took us over to the stand side, which wasn't ideal. So I think we can upgrade her performance a tad as well.
Did the ground go against last time, would you say?
Yeah, and it probably did a tiny bit today as well. It's plenty quick enough out there for she wants something in between the last day and today, really. Just good ground to be perfect for her.
She has got entry for the Oval. Judging by that evidence, James, you say that the mile and a half should be fine for her?
Well, I wouldn't be 100% confident that she would get that trip just yet. There's a bit of plenty of, you know, she's from the family sort of fame and glory on the dam side, which would suggest she'd get that far, but she's got that little bit of zip at the minute, and, you know, I wouldn't be overly confident she'd get further. I'm sure she will do one day, but whether it's quite at the minute, I'm not too sure.
And to win near the Musidora here this afternoon, how's that feel as a jockey?
Yeah, very nice. Obviously, it's a fantastic meeting. Good weather, so yeah, it's great. Obviously, we love coming to York. It's fantastic prize money on here, and beautiful tracks in great condition.
And the combination you were working alongside it, William Haggis, seems to be doing the trick. You know, won the Lincoln with a day, and obviously won with him again since.
Yeah, exactly. No, really looking forward to him. He obviously runs on Saturday in the Lockinge, so yeah, can't wait for that. Yeah,
fantastic, James. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
James Doyle speaking to me yesterday after his victory in the Musidora. What we need to take from that victory for Give and Take is that he would be 100% sure she'd get the mile and a half, Jim.
Yeah, I can see why he says that. Equally, she wasn't stopping at the end, and it was it's 10 and a half furlongs, the Musidora, so it's an extended mile and a quarter. Admittedly, Epsom's a stiff mile and a half, so we're talking about 1.5 furlongs. My gut feeling is that she will get it, my own feeling, but whether she's good enough, whether she can improve enough in just 3 weeks, I think is debatable.
Yeah, very much agree with you there. Now, obviously, Jim, we're going to be previewing the Lockinge later on in the show, but he's going to be partnering Dayab on Saturday as well. He's been his regular pilot throughout the season. You know, he won the Lincoln, didn't he, on like the first big handicap of the season. Myself and you was there. Can he win a Group 1?
I think he can. I mean, since then, of course, he's followed up in at Sandown in what is a pattern race. Admittedly, the field is nothing like as deep as we got tomorrow. The worry would be the ground is significantly different. It's going to be far quicker at Newbury compared to the surface at both Doncaster and Sandown. And remember, I know it's an old cliche, but horses transmit their ability through their legs, and they all react differently to the ground on which they race. And that's the one thing at top level we don't know about him, whether he'll cope.
Well, we will be previewing the Lockinge later on in the show. We have heard from, we'll be hearing, should I say, from Harry Bendley a little bit later on. Now, just as you can probably hear, just hit stop there, obviously, slide, but the music is really loud here on the
It stopped
on
the as you held your hand up, Bobby.
I know, literally. I think they can see me putting my hand up, to be honest with you, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I said, stop the music now. It's louder than me.
Does everybody know you've got socks on this week?
I've got socks. You said you weren't going to mention that, eh? You chucked that one in.
I don't know.
Right then, talking about today, Jim, we had some really good racing. Also, we did have the Middleton Stakes, the Group 2 for fillies and mares, where Coronet for John Gosden and Frankie DeTore, she returned to action here this afternoon, fifth in last year's St. Ledger. Again, both of us were there on Talmore. I thought it was a really impressive performance from her this afternoon.
Yes, I did. I mean, okay, she had the best form going into the race, but her best form was put up under somewhat different circumstances, over a longer distance on easier ground. For all, she did have form as well on good to firm, but she got a canny ride as well. They went a nice sensible pace. It wasn't a crawl. Frankie sat handy on her, and he kicked on a fair way out to make sure that it was relatively speaking some sort of a test, and she answered every call and won decisively. She should have a good summer.
She certainly should indeed. Now, the man on board, Coronet, this afternoon, I caught up with him earlier on, and here's what he had to say. Right, so Frankie, Coronet then, that seemed pretty straightforward in the Middleton.
Yes, her homework's been good. She's a sweetheart, and I mean, unfortunately last year she kept on teeing on Unable, and you know what Unable was capable of. So, she stayed in training, and the gold really started to win a Group 1 with her, and you know, the obvious target is bring her back here for the Ebor in the
in August for the Yorkshire Cup, Oaks, Yorkshire Oaks.
And just talking of the Yorkshire Cup, what you mentioned there,
Oaks, Yorkshire Oaks, I mean.
But tomorrow for the Yorkshire Cup, you are riding Stradivarius, going for win number 4, I believe. Won it three times already?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a lovely little horse. Group 1 winner last year and done well in the winter. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious start here and, you know, if he does well, obviously he'll go for the Gold Cup.
And the ground will be perfect for him tomorrow, this quicker ground?
Yeah, he likes quick ground, he's got to turn the foot for a steer and this is what he wants.
Great stuff. Frankie, thank you very much for your time. Congratulations on you this afternoon with Coronet and best luck tomorrow with Stradivarius.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
Yes, welcome back to the Knavesmire. Great to speak to Frankie Dettori earlier on, as we mentioned, victorious on the card in the Milton Stakes on board Coronet. I think the interesting thing what he said, he's won it a fair few. I think he actually forgotten briefly how many times he's won the Yorkshire Cup, but he's got a great chance tomorrow with Stradivarius.
Yes, he won it. Never mind what he told you. and you didn't take him on because you were frightened of him.
You don't tell Frankie what.
I'd looked it up. His first ever winner at the Dante May Festival, his first ever winner, mm-hmm. was the Yorkshire Cup. He won on Arzani in 1991. But he'd forgotten that. I mean, he won it three times in the early noughties on horses like Marion Bard, who went on to win an Arc. You know, who was a very good horse. But he's got a very good ride tomorrow in Stradivarius. I mean, he's got a horse that's got absolutely everything right, favoured by the conditions, the weights. The ground is ideal for him. He was a very good horse last year with the potential to be even better this time. I think we're looking at a winner.
And just going back briefly to it, to Coronet, he said he got a bit confused with obviously the Yorkshire Cup and the Yorkshire Oaks, but he said there, you know, probably Yorkshire Oaks for her at the Ebor Festival, should I say, here in August. You know, and we spoke to Carl Burke, who said Lawrence could potentially turn up in the Yorkshire Oaks as well.
Yeah, the Yorkshire Oaks is likely to be a tougher race than the Middleton was today. Firstly, it's a higher level anyway, and the three-year-olds, hopefully the one or two of those, you think Aidan O'Brien bound by that stage of the season to have a couple to come and take her on. I mean, Coronet was entitled to win today. The worry about whether she would were the conditions and the distance of the race, because she is better over further and the Yorkshire Oaks is a mile and a half. But what a compliment to a stable companion Enable, which Frankie also mentioned to you there. I mean, she thrashed her in the Yorkshire Oaks last year. So, no, a pleasing comeback. She's a good filly, but she'll have more to do in August.
And he said as well, Stradivarius, you know, could be the Ascot Gold Cup.
Yeah, well, that is another test. He's got to get through this one first. But as a just, we'll touch on it in a little bit more detail in a minute. But that's a very strong ride for Frankie tomorrow.
Yes, certainly is. Indeed, of course, the feature race of the day was the Dante, one of the key trials towards the Epsom Derby. A winning horse this afternoon on the Knavesmire was Roaring Lion. That returned you 3-1 favourite. Ridden by John trained by John Gosden, ridden by Sheen Murphy. And after the race, I caught up with him for him to tell me all about his victory this afternoon. So joining me now is the winning jockey of the 2018 Betfair Dante. That's Sheen Murphy. He steered Roaring Lion to victory here this afternoon on the Knavesmire. Sheen, describe it to us.
Yeah, he relaxed very good, mate. And I was always happy with my position. We didn't go very fast, but I was always confident in the straight that he was going to pick up. This horse has a lot of talent and plenty of gears. So it was a good performance.
Just going back to what we saw with him last year, in your opinion, how much do you think he's improved from his two-year-old career to his three-year-old?
Yeah, to be honest, he ran to 1-1-18 last year, and 1-18, and you know, he possibly ran to a similar level today. I'm not quite sure how they rated the race yet, but it felt very good, and I'm very pleased with the horse.
It looks like he's got a great engine from what we've seen, but at the same time, he went to the left and he went to the right. Would that be a concern for you at all?
Nah, that's just him. Look, you know, he does have a look around in front and it's the mark of a good horse. And, you know, I'm sure as we go up the grades, back up into, you know, better races, hopefully we'll be able to time her. I'll be able to time my challenge at the right time.
I know at the moment, Ashin, connection is not quite sure at which derby we're going to see him in, but in your opinion, what derby do you think he'll be best in?
Yeah, I actually thought about this cantering to post. To be honest, there's only one answer. John Gosden's trained derby winners, and I've never ridden a derby winner. I've ridden in four derbies now. But I never rode those horses in their trials, as far as I can remember. So I'm not quite sure what it takes as a build-up for the race. But he seems to have credentials going forward that he might get a mile and a half. Time will tell.
Great. So for Sheena, thank you very much for your time and congratulations on winning the big race here this afternoon.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
This is Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup on Proper Sport.
The winning rider of the 2018 Betfred Dante this afternoon, that was Ashin Murphy. Interesting, Jim. You know, they're not quite sure where they're going to go with him. The French Derby on the radar, of course, at the Epsom Derby as well. If you had to make the decision on your own, where would you run him?
I wouldn't not run him in the Derby because of the trip. I'm sure he'd get a mile and a half. You asked Ashin about his tendency to wander around, and understandably, as the rider on for a high-profile owner, he was very diplomatic in his answer. But the fact is, the horse threw away the Racing Post Trophy last year against Saxon Warrior. He got in front, and the other horse came back as this horse hung and stopped. He's very, very talented. There's no reason on pedigree and running style why he shouldn't get a mile and a half. But whether the cambers are Epsom, which if he's going to run around will exacerbate his tendency to do that, might hinder his chances. That is a real possibility. But he was very, very impressive today. It was a tactical race. Okay, on ratings going into it, he was the best horse, and you can say, well, he was the most likely winner beforehand. But at the end, Daylight was second. He was really, really impressive. I think he's an improved horse from the one I saw in the Guineas of a couple of weeks ago. And although Saxon Warrior is likely to improve as well, and for extra distance, this horse will give him more of a race than he did at Newmarket.
Yeah, I agree. And just to echo what you said there as well, Jim, very impressive here this afternoon. Of course, tomorrow it is day three of the Dante Festival, with the Yorkshire Cup being the feature race. We've just touched upon briefly on Stradivarius after speaking to Frankie earlier on. As we look ahead though to the Yorkshire Cup, yesterday I spoke to William Haggis, who has one runner in this field, and that's Call to Mind, owned by Her Majesty the Queen. And of course, 12 months ago, Her Majesty the Queen won this race with Dartmouth. I spoke to the trainer of Call to Mind yesterday, and here's what he had to say. So William, how's he been after finishing at fourth in the John Porter at Newbury win last season?
He's been good, but he was very disappointing at Newbury, so I'm hoping for a better show on Friday.
He did have a very successful three-year-old career. Potentially, how good do you think he'll be in his four-year-old career as well?
Well, he's rated 107 now, and I expect him to be much higher, or quite a bit higher than that at the end of the season.
And the Yorkshire Cup as well, which the race he is running in, one of the very few races you've not won here on the Names, mate. If you were to win the Yorkshire Cup, you're a very proud Yorkshireman yourself. What would that mean to you as a trainer?
Obviously, any winner here is good news, but it's a very prestigious race, a Group 2 race. It's going to be a tough race, and he's an outsider, but he'll run a good race.
Imagine the Queen victorious 12 months ago with Dartmouth, and potentially he could train another royal winner of the Yorkshire Cup. How does that feel?
It would be lovely to think of it, and a nice wedding present for her grandson.
And how do you assess the competition, Stradivarius in the field for John Gosden, Willie Mullins, duly represented as well?
Yeah, it's a tough race. I think Stradivarius had a very good year. I think the Ledger was a very strong race. I think he'd be very hard to beat. And Willie Mullins is feared everywhere in the world, and I know they're 8 and 9 years old, but they've still got a bit of mileage in them.
Going forward, just quickly, what's the plan for him for the rest of the season?
Well, we'd like to go for the Gold Cup at Ascot, if he's good enough and if he stays. So he'll run here. Might be too short for him here, and then he'll go possibly even to Sandown next week, or a couple of weeks' time, whenever it is, for the Henry II before Ascot. So we're gonna race him a bit.
William, thank you very much for your time.
Every Wednesday evening, 6 till 8 p.m., you can join Ollie Holmes and Jai Hitchcock for the 6 till 8 debate, discussing anything and everything in the world of rugby league and beyond. And sometimes they bring the breaking news that you need to know.
3-year-old boy goes missing Central Western Australia campsite, right? He's found 5 kilometres away the following day. He says, I found a kangaroo and I tried to ride it home. I'm not kidding, look this up. James Skillen disappeared from a campsite on a private property in Razorback, north of Bathurst. A search was launched at 7 p.m. 100-acre property is found 5 kilometres away.
He tried to ride a kangaroo.
Yeah, he's got, I don't know exactly where he's trying to ride the kangaroo, but that came out wrong.
All the big stories discussed on the 6 till 8 debate every Wednesday, 6 till 8 on Proper Sport, on Facebook Live, on the podcast, and of course on the website at propersport.uk.
The greatest radio duo since, well, no one. Ollie and Jai on the 6 till 8 debate. Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath on Proper Sport.
Welcome back to the Racing Roundup here with myself, Bobby Beavers, alongside Jim McGrath, live from York Racecourse. Now, just before we had the promos in the show there, we did hear from William Haggis, who has called to mind running in tomorrow's Yorkshire Cup. He's won numerous races here over the years, but he's never won this Yorkshire Cup, has he?
I know, and it's odd to think that 364 days ago, on the Saturday, when we were at the Lockinge, Call to Mind and Desert Skyline, who are running in the Yorkshire Cup of Staying Test, ran over a mile and a quarter at Newmarket. You know, and that's how they've developed since then. It sort of underlines that as last season unfolded and they got longer distances to race over, mm-hmm. they showed improved form. But they're in a tough renewal tomorrow, as William said. And you know, assessing his own horse on form, he was very frank there. He's right. Mm. He is up against it. He's got to improve significantly. Clever Cookie's won this race before, yeah. Peter Niven. It would be great if the North could win it again, because including Clever Cookie's win, the North have only won this 7 times in the last 50 years. So we make a big deal about it. What a big race, and it's the highlight of the card and the day's marketed. It's the Yorkshire Cup, but Yorkshire ain't got a great record in it. So can Clever Cookie at the age of 10 put that right again tomorrow? I don't really think so. I don't think he's quite as quick as he used to be. Count Octave, quite a good stayer for Andrew Balding. Got to improve, but might do. Max Dynamite and Wicklow Brave, both trained by Willie Mullins. Summed up by William Haggis. Horses with good form. On to Victory, a horse who progressed right through handicaps. Showed a good level of form last year, Bob. And then we get to Stradivarius. A high quality level of form. Won a Group 1 at Goodwood last year. Ran really well in the Ledger. Mm-hmm. John Gosson's team at the moment are in flying form. The horse is favoured by conditions. For example, Desert Skyline, who won a Group 2, yeah. has a penalty in this race, but Stradivarius has won a Group 1, i.e. the highest class. He gets in with no penalty, mm-hmm. which seems a bit odd. But anyway, if Stradivarius is anywhere near his best, he'd be very hard to beat.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Stradivarius, the one to beat in the Yorkshire Cup. Right then, moving ahead another day. If we look ahead to Saturday, of course, the big meet of the day is Newbury, and the Lockinge Stakes is the feature on the day. We'll speak to Jim very shortly about his thoughts on this year's Lockinge, but before we do, here at York, I spoke to a certain jockey who's going to be riding Lamato. Here's what he had to say. So, Harry, first time you rode Lamato was actually in the Lockinge 2 years ago. Since then, he's been successful at a variety of different distances over short. In your opinion, what distance do you think is best for him?
Well, look, he's that little bit older now. He settles very, very well in his races, and I think a mile is absolutely fine for him now. You know, we're going to learn a lot more after this run, but both times I've ridden him over a mile, I don't think it's necessarily that he doesn't stay, so I think he'll be fine.
Should everything fall right for him in the race, how will he be ridden?
He's very, very straightforward. I'll get a bit of cover and aim to come sort of late enough. I don't want to sort of hit the front too soon, because obviously I've got to have it in the back of my mind that he is stepping up, but keep it very simple. Mr. Candy's very straightforward to ride for as well, so he'll kind of leave it to me, but I imagine I'll just get a bit of cover.
Strong competition as well on Saturday, Harry. How do you rate his rivals?
It's an interesting race. You've got a Dabe who is very much a sort of dark horse. I know he's won twice a season, and he's obviously going to be a good horse, but he's won the Lincoln, a handicap, and then he won a Group 2, so he could be anything, but he's progressing well, so I rate him as a tough competitor and also rhododendron, obviously.
Brilliant. Well, Harry, thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Harry Bentley rides Le Marto on Saturday in the lock-ins, and as you said, he mentioned the word rhododendron then for Aidan O'Brien. The interesting thing about her, you know, just looking back through the form, she was the odds-on favourite for last year's Oaks. She finished second. She went off the 8-11 favourite. Second behind Enable, went off at 6-1. We'll never see 6-1 again for Enable, will we?
You won't. Let's hope we see Enable again, though, because currently she's sidelined with a knee injury.
Yeah, we hope to see her, but I think August, I believe, is the target for her. Right then, let's start with the lock-ins. Interesting what you had to say about Le Marto. What do you think to Le Marto's chance on Saturday?
Well, he's obviously a high-quality horse. 2 years ago, he finished fourth in this, which is the first time Harry had ever ridden him. That was a good run. I know Henry Candy feels, or he's quoted as saying this week, that he thinks the horse is in better form compared to that time, that he's more relaxed these days. Stamina's like a piece of elastic, you know. You don't know how far it'll stretch until it snaps. It's true.
Yeah.
So, in the case of this horse, can he eke out in a real high-quality renewal enough to show that brilliant speed that he shows at 6 and 7 furlongs? I'm not sure at the age he is, even though, you know, he's relatively lightly raced for a six-year-old, that he's good enough to do it.
What do you fancy for the lock-ins?
I think it's a very open renewal. Would have put money down. I'd have to say I think there are easier races to have a punt on this weekend, but the name of the game is having an opinion in something like this. I chance beat the bank. Andrew Baldy has had a relatively quiet start, though he's had a couple of horses run well here at York this week. Beat the Bank is a horse who won first time out last season, admittedly at a much lower grade, but he was very impressive in so doing. He's a horse who lives a little bit on his nerves, Bobby. You know, he's always jig-joggy and on his toes, and he was a big, big flop on his final start last year. But he's been aimed at this all season, like a handful of these have. This is where he was always going to start. He's got a blinding turn of foot when he's good. Mm-hmm. He's relatively light. Lightly raced, he's a young horse on the up, and I'll forgive him that flop at Ascot and go for him in a really open renewal.
Yeah, very open renewal indeed. Now, before the lock-ins, we do have the London Gold Cup. Is it going to go in the way of Roger Vary and Andrea Rizzini?
Well, it went that way last year. So you think it might do again, do you? You've had your form book out.
Oh,
you?
I've had the form book out studying. You've trained me well, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah, I doubt it from what I've seen anyway.
Is it going to go the way of them two of them?
Well, this is one of the best three-year-old handicaps of in the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, it features a lot of horses that have just been qualified for handicaps, a handful that have got good solid form in such events, mm-hmm. And... you know, there's no doubt it's really competitive. In the past, one or two horses have gone on to group races from this.
Yep.
We look to have a very strong and competitive renewal with any number of horses who won last time out. You mentioned Roger Varian. He runs Massar. Andrea Azzini rides. He won at Doncaster last week, beating the horse I fancied, and they were clear. Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty strong form. Obviously, he's got a rise in the weights, but he's one you respect. I like Poet's Prince of Mark Johnson. Chief Ironside of Willie Jarvis's. Mm-hmm. Very unexposed. Some people thought he was lucky to win a maiden at Chester last week.
Yeah.
What did Willie Jarvis do this week? Willie Jarvis has a small team of horses. Think about this.
Yeah.
The Eclipse Stakes closed. There's only about 8 to 10 three-year-olds in it. He's put this horse in the Eclipse Stakes. It's running in this handy. To win the Eclipse Stakes, it'll have to be 120.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
In this race, it's running off a handicap mark of 88. So, well, what do you think, Bob?
I think he's going to significantly improve if he's going to run in a Coral Eclipse.
But do you think he can win a handicap off 88, though, if he's going to run in an Eclipse?
Yes.
Yes, I think it's a possibility. So that's one. I'll give you two against the field. Chief Ironside and Master of Wine, trained by Andrew Balding, who won at Epsom the other day, looking very much like a horse who'll improve if he goes another couple of furlongs, and he gets that chance tomorrow.
And just away from Newbury as well, there's a decent card at Newmarket, isn't there?
There is, Bobby, yeah. There's a lot of runners there as well. You like your pound of flesh on this, don't you? This is another tough sprint. And to be honest with you, I do like to be honest when we're tipping. I don't like just saying, oh, I'll back this one, I'll back that one. You asked me about the lock-ins, you asked me about the London Gold Cup. Mm. Yeah, I've done some work, and I think the horses have given a run well. Would I put money on a horse in this Betway sprint handicap? Probably not. Mm-hmm. The horse I'm gonna go for is perfectly obvious. Yafta, trained by Richard Hannan. Mm-hmm. Now, I backed the horse that beat that of Godolphin's at Newmarket on 2000 Guineas Day. I thought that was well handicapped. So Yafta ran him to a length. The horse I backed did actually win quite comfortably. But Yafta ran a good race. He's gone up £3 in the handicap for that. It's the same course. It's the same distance. So you know that's not a problem. He's largely progressive. There are others in the field that are the same. But there's no reason why Yafta shouldn't give a good account.
And I'm going to put you on the spot again, because we always get your tips off you every single week. So what are your tips here for this week?
Well, I look at it in two ways. I try and pick out one that'll win. I mean, some people don't like short price horses, and generally, I think people who know me think I steer clear of them. But sometimes there are horses like Stradivarius is around 11 to 10 even money tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You have to take his fitness on trust. But if he's fit and well, and Gosden seem in blinding form, he'll win. So everything's right for him. So he's the nap. Of the other horses in those hard races that we've mentioned, the three o'clock at Newbury, the London Gold Cup, if you gave me £10, I'd put £8 on Master of Wine. Mm-hmm. And two on Chief Ironside, a little saver on that. So those two horses against the field in the 3 o'clock.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Jim, as always, great to have you alongside me. And I've got to say now, I think it's been the warmest it's been all day. It's been warm all day, don't get me wrong, but the sun is shining here on the Naves, man. It's been a really good 2 days so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, you've kept the socks on. You've not let the side down. I know you wanted to take them off, but there are standards here on the Naves, Mire, and I didn't want to see William Darby throwing you out in the first meeting of the year. But no, we're in the listed building at York, the stand that has to stay here, with the candy twist poles. People who listen to you or listen to us this afternoon that know the place know exactly where we are. We're looking out. The shadows are beginning to fall on a sun-kissed evening. It's a lovely, lovely scene. We're two lucky lads who have been here for 2 days.
We certainly are indeed. Right, and that's the end of the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. Just before we go, I'd like to say thank you to all our guests over the past couple of days who have allowed me to give them an interview. That's James Doyle, Frankie DeTore, Ashim Murphy, William Haggis and Harry Bentley as well. As always, thanks to Jim for joining me here, and we very much look forward to doing another show for you next Thursday at 6 p.m. live from the studios in Leeds. But from myself and Jim here on the Naves, Mire, we wish you all a very good evening.